At Cherry & Vava, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Vavas from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry & Vavas. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry & Vava, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry & Vava for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry & Vava.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
President Trump's endorsements last night, every person he endorsed in the race in Ohio and Indiana won. He was 20 for 20, including, of course, J.D. Vance, the one that everybody was watching in Ohio. Well, he's also endorsed Dr. Oz for United States Senate in Pennsylvania. Dr. Oz joins me this morning. Good morning, Dr. Oz.
Rich, good morning. Yeah, it was a big night. And I got to say, you understand exactly why President Trump has that influence. He's able to cut through a lot of the morass. Many of these campaigns are filled with negative ads designed to confuse folks, and oftentimes the attacks resemble the attacks that were waged against him by, you know, by insiders just didn't like the fact that he was mixing it up. And so it helps clarify that for a lot of voters.
What was the process that led to the endorsement? I mean, I know you've known him for quite some time, but what ultimately was the reason that put him over the edge, you think? Put him over the top, I should say.
I think a big part of it was I never had anybody who was on my paid staff reach out to him. I would meet with him personally. People that he knew best, who knew mutually, like Sean Hannity, for example, would articulate why he thought I was the best candidate to win the general election. President Trump is laser focused on having a Republican senator from Pennsylvania and one from Ohio, thus, for example, picking J.D. Vance there. He just thinks we have the best chance in the general election, but he also thinks we reflect the values of the people in our states, our Commonwealth in my case. And so he goes down the list, and he plays very clear about it when he makes the announcement. And he wrote my announcement himself. I know that for a fact because he put things in there that no one else would have mentioned. Like when he came on my show, which I invited him on just before the 2016 election, and I was heartily criticized because liberal woke media did not think that a candidate on the Republican side should be on national television, on network television, in daytime. So I said, forget it. I'm going to have him on. He can come share his ideas. Why not give him a chance to be heard for who he is? And then people can judge. So he comes on, and while he's on the show, he reveals his medical records. If you remember back then, there was this big debate about whether he had these fake medical records, and there was a single letter that people weren't sure about. So he actually pulled out his real medical records, threw them down on the table in front of us on the show live. So the audience is, eyes bulging. And then we go through his medical records. And in the medical records, I pointed out to him that he could lose a few pounds, which he has never forgiven me for. But that, to him, he put it in the announcement because he wanted to make it clear that although I had bravely fought to have him on, I wasn't going to be a sycophant. I wasn't going to just tell him he was a clean bill of health if it wasn't true. And I was going to point out things that weren't ideal, and his weight was one of them.
And he forgave you for that. That's amazing.
he forgave J.D. Vance, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Roe v. Wade, obviously, it looks like, knock on wood, that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Casey, which obviously is named after, Governor Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. So, right here. And then, of course, Roe v. Wade. Now, you are running and you were saying you're a pro-life candidate. Your opponents have been circulating a video of comments you made with Charlemagne the God on The Breakfast Club recently. And I told you I was going to play this so you'd have an opportunity to respond to it. I want you to take a listen to this so you can let us know your position on this and if there's been an evolution or what you were trying to say in that clip. Go ahead.
Now, what are your thoughts on Alabama and these anti-abortion laws that they're passing in Alabama? Well, that they've passed.
Is that healthy?
I'm really worried about it. I tell you, I've taken care of a lot of women mm-hmm. who've had issues around childbirth. It's big time concern because I went to medical school in Philadelphia, and I saw women who'd had coat hanger events. Mm. I mean, they're really traumatic events that happened when they were younger, before Roe versus Wade.
All right, Dr. Oz, this is your chance to respond to it. Go ahead.
So I feel exactly the same way. The Alabama law forbid women even if their lives were in danger, if they would die during the caring of the child from having medical help. And I feel strongly, as does President Trump, so did Ronald Reagan, that although we're strongly pro-life, I believe life starts at conception. There's this horrible time, rare, very rare, but time when a woman's life will be lost. I'm not talking about, you know, getting blemishes. I'm talking about really she will die if she carries this child. And I think that's a situation where it's very difficult for me as a physician to argue that, you know, the wife, the woman, the mother dies, the child lives. It violates my Hippocratic oath to do my best to save all life. And my mother-in-law, who I've talked about this extensively with, she's an ordained minister, and she wrote a lot of the pro-life literature, and she was in Montgomery County where we are. So it was really important for us to be clear about these issues. And she doesn't have exceptions, but the hardest endorsement I ever got, I'll tell you, was from her. It was not President Trump. Getting her endorsement 38 years ago took a lot of effort.
All right. So your position then is abortion with exceptions for no abortion, exceptions for life of the mother. Any other exceptions?
Yes, rape and incest. And again, these are horrible moments. I've talked about this with, for example, President Trump, but I've also had many of my endorsers, Rick Perry, Ted Nugent, Ben Carson was here last week. Ben is very, as a physician like me, has thought through this very carefully. And, you know, all of us, you know how sensitive this is, but the unifying factor of all of us is Roe versus Wade has no role. It's not constitutional. It actually created a huge problem by putting the courts in a position where they were legislating. And I tell you, our family is, and I am very happy. And in the last debate, I was the first one out of the gate saying that Roe versus Wade must be overturned. And if this preliminary document by Judge Alito it continues to remain unchanged, that we'll have that. The bigger issue that all of us as Republicans should be frustrated and angry about is what I was fighting on my show all these years, which is you have liberals, woke individuals, the far left of the Democratic Party, who will cheat, lie, steal, do whatever it takes to win. The reprehensible assault on a branch of government by the premature release of this document, never happened before, and I know you've been talking about it, is inexcusable, and it puts a target on the back of these judges. We want our judges to legislate appropriately. In my case, you want an extra Republican senator to make sure we pick judges who will not legislate from the bench, but rather follow the Constitution. I'm a constitutionalist, but it is not right for these judges to be now pressured, continually assaulted, have protesters outside the courtroom until they make their final decision. How does law all work if you threaten the judges?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that this leak was absolutely done to try to intimidate these justices, and it's shameful. It really is. Dr. Oz, if you win the primary, I believe you will win the general election, and then you will be the next senator from Pennsylvania. I think this is a year for Republicans. Democrats are going to try to end the filibuster. They're going to try to codify Roe into federal law. They're going to try to pack the courts. These are the battles that whoever the Republican senator is from Pennsylvania is going to have to deal with once they get there. And it's going to be a major battle.
It'll be a huge battle. This is why we need a Republican senator from Pennsylvania. We don't want to go from Maine until Maryland, Virginia, and not have a Republican in the Senate. And our opinions have to be heard. I think a lot of the reasons Washington gets it wrong, Rich, is they don't share our values. They don't even know our values. And we don't want a backbencher in Washington. We want someone in the front, bold, loud voice, who's fought on the big stage before. You know, I've taken on big tech. I mean, I'm talking about real battles. I've got 13 million people on social media. So when these fights happen, they're very difficult and dangerous, but it's worth doing it for my viewers for years. I took on Big Pharma, the agrochemical company. I took on the U.S. government. I've got the scars to prove it, and I cannot be bought. That's the kind of person you want in Washington. And I agree with your optimistic perspective. In November, President Trump endorsed me because he specifically thought that I was the best person to carry the torch through that battle. We want someone who can attract suburban women. Obviously, I've been talking to women for 13 years in their living rooms. We want the African-American vote to come out. President Trump did very well, like the best numbers of any Republican candidate this century. And we will do well with those groups of individuals if I'm the nominee. And I'm optimistic. We're doing well in the polls. And President Trump's rally in Greensburg on Friday is going to be a big event. It'll be broadcast nationally. It's going to be an opportunity for everyone to hear how he really has leaned into Pennsylvania. And I should point out, he didn't just say, you know, good luck, Oz. He's been actively engaged, calling, checking in. He did a big teletown hall for us last week. We actually criticized one of my opponents, Dave McCormick, for being pro-China and say, let them eat our lunch. But these are the insights that he's sharing with members of the Pennsylvania electorate, because he knows this is a state that is vitally important. It's the bellwether for the country. What we do in Pennsylvania through the general election will be the blueprint for what allows us to take back control, keep control, actually, through the next 4 to 6 years.
Dr. Oz, the other criticism that's going at you right now is the issue of transgender children. From a segment you did on your show, and I actually played the clip last week where you were highlighting that. And in the debate, this came up as well. And I believe your answer was something effective. You did topics that were, what network TV wanted to have or something to that effect. The issue of this going on, and some people have criticized you and said, how could you bring the topic of children transitioning and bring that to a national audience?
The job of a host is to bring different opinions on the program. And so the topic of that show, which was, more than 10 years ago, was, if as a mom, your child told you they were transgender, what would you do? It wasn't about the kids. It was about the moms. And educating moms who watch daytime television, right? The kids are in school still, is my job. And it's why my show was the top health show in the world for 13 years. And I clearly did not want children exposed to transgender ideas, especially at the young ages that now New Jersey is legislating. I strongly support what DeSantis has done in Florida. I think we should do the same thing here in Pennsylvania. And I note, as a doctor, and they put my doctor hat on here because it's important, there's some political things we can say, but as a physician, it is harmful to our children to expose them to complex discussions around sex when they're in first, second, third grade. We don't teach them calculus. Why? Because they're not ready for it. And the parents have to be involved in these discussions. I'll give you a stat that you can use in the future, Rich. 85% of kids who say they're transgender, 85%, will go back to their biologic sex, the one they were born to, if it's not interfered with, if it just can allow to go through the process. Kid wears his mom's shoes for 2 weeks and goes back. What we're doing now is harmful because we're embracing and endorsing the child, validating this whimsical decision, and now the child's embarrassed to change their mind and, like they would normally have done, and go back. This is the real harm that liberals are risking with children. And when the White House says we're putting children at risk by not educating them about transgender issues when they're in first grade, that's a lie. The data is the opposite of that, that there's no benefit of doing it. And so we have to combat these cultural war issues, which the Democrats bring knives to, without our index cards. We've got to go in there with more than our 3x5 neatly arranged index cards. We've got to actually talk in a way that is compelling. Doesn't have to be arrogant, but it must be assertive so our values are heard. That is what I have done for my life's work in my operating room, on the show, and now campaigning. It's what I'll do in Washington to serve the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
I mean, it's really scary as a parent what they're trying to do in schools. And when I hear Dr. Rachel Levine, who is transgender from Pennsylvania, of course, as you know, the Assistant United States Secretary of Health, say no doctors disagree with this gender stuff with kids, and the White House comes out with their document now encouraging things like puberty blockers and all the other stuff. I mean, as a father, it sounds incredibly dangerous. It sounds like child abuse to me. And so to hear you say that 85% statistic is good to hear.
What they're saying is dishonest. The horrible reality is, just like in COVID, the reason I want Fauci fired is not because he miserably mangled COVID. There's much more than that. He censored talk. He worked with media to take out professors at major universities who had differences of opinion, saying the mandates wouldn't work, we're using the vaccines wrong, things that needed to be heard. So shockingly, they're doing the same thing now. The doctors that way back when, like the ones that would come on my show 10, 12 years ago to talk about this, they're all gone. They're canceled. They lost their faculty positions. They were escorted out of their offices with their all their books and boxes thrown out, literally, because they would put their hand up and think, what are you doing? You're hurting these children. The literature is warped. It's propaganda. Again, I'm speaking as a doctor. Forget the politics on this. If you're going to tell me to do something that is medically valid, it must actually have data to support it. It is the opposite, and it's a pattern. COVID with transgender, the New Deal is a lie. Scientifically, it's a lie. I'm not talking in hyperbole. Find someone who knows about energy policy who actually thinks we can deliver on that, and it won't work. Meanwhile, I hear Democratic leaders parroting that that's the only path forward, when they're hurting our people desperately, desiring to be able to pump gas from under our feet here in Pennsylvania to save their livelihoods, reduce inflation, make our country energy independent, and help our allies. But ideology suffocates them. We have to have bold leaders in Washington who call it like it is. Pennsylvania is a top five state, Rich. We are not respected that way in Washington. We are sort of sitting around. You know, you hear more about what's going on from the senators from South Carolina, which is not Pennsylvania, than you do from our team.
That is true. Dr. Oz, your rally with President Trump is Friday. Tell us the details.
DrOz.com has all the information. It's already tons of people coming. It's just outside of Pittsburgh. You can drive there in 5 hours or find your way there, but it's easy to do. It's going to be wonderful. 8 in the evening. Sean Hannity is going to be televising it as well on Fox. So if you're not there, watch it on television, but it's going to be a blast. Lots of fun people there.
Well, I always appreciate your time. I always appreciate you answering the questions that I give you, and I'm sure we'll be doing it again before May 17th. So have fun Friday night. Tell the president I said hello.
God bless you. Thank you, Rich. Stay well.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.